Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Konezvic back in the house. The reporter, Nick Keyser, as well. Hope you're having a fantastic Wednesday morning as the Titans were on the field yesterday for all of us to see. Day two, technically, of OTAs. And, you know, I think we're talking about the things that we unfortunately thought we would be, and that is Kevin Byard not showing up. That is actually, I thought he would. I thought he might actually show up, but when I didn't see him on all the social media things on Monday, it kind of made me think, this could be bad. But the topic we did on Monday, Michelle, was who should we be talking about? Who do we want to be talking about on Wednesday after the open portion? I said Treylon Burks, and I know Treylon has come up quite a bit. Tim Kelly talked about him a little bit, but obviously the story is Kevin Byard. He is not at OTAs. It is, to my recollection, the first time in his career that he hasn't been in OTAs. He's always shown up to these things. And, you know, I guess in the grand scheme of things, not really all that surprised that he's not there right now.
I agree. I think it is a story, but personally, I think it's overshadowing the story of Christian Fulton not being there, which I actually think is more of a concern. I mean, Kevin Byard, I don't have any doubt in my mind he's not going to come ready for mandatory camp, you know, in the next couple of days here. I feel as though it's probably just a stance of, hey, I'm valuable to this team. But hearing the comments made by Mike Vrabel, by Jeffrey Simmons, by Shane Bowen discussing, you know, we're not worried about Kevin. We've been in contact with Kevin. We've had the communication. We've had open communication back and forth on both ends of things. Kevin Byard isn't there. He's a guy who has spoken about the importance of being in training camp, and he's a guy who is the leader of this defense. But I think hearing from Vrabel, hearing from Jeffrey, hearing from Shane Bowen that there has been constant communication there is positive, and that when he comes here, he'll be ready and he'll be ready to go. I look at it more as just kind of a stance.
Sure. I'm not questioning that he'll be ready to go or not. I mean, I think we both know that. He will be. I mean, he's doing the work. And, I mean, I always reference what Derek would say. You know, Derek didn't always go to OTAs, but it was kind of an understanding, especially as an older player, like, you know, and back then, too, like, you didn't necessarily need to. The problem now is, since it's become, even though it's OTAs, Vrabel is the type that it's like, it doesn't stand for optional. It does mean, like, you need to be here with your teammates, you need to be here working, and as a leader on this team, you know, I think he should be here. I understand why he's not, but I feel like, you know, everybody needs to come to OTAs now is kind of where it's at. And, but you know, I think the story can go away because he'll show up, he'll talk, they'll air it all out, and then they'll move on. That's the hope.
Yeah. I mean, I get what you're saying from Vrabel, but I mean, hearing him yesterday, he was pretty open to the fact that, yeah, I've talked to Kevin. There's times I haven't gone to OTAs. Kevin knows the expectation here, but I by no means think Kevin's in the doghouse by going. And I don't really think – I think Vrabel probably looks at this situation and is like, yeah, well, you know, he's very valuable to this team. Rand Carthon did confirm that we did ask him for a pay cut.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, there are two – like Jared used the example yesterday of Kevin Dodd not showing up. Kevin Dodd and Kevin Byard are two very different players and, you know, rookies and stuff. A guy like Christian Fulton, you're right. He should definitely be there.
Yeah, because I think he's someone – a bigger concern.
This was Mike Vrabel yesterday, though, on if he is concerned with Kevin Byard not being at OTAs.
KB's always been a guy with such high buy-in to what you're trying to do here. How concerning is it to you when that guy, you know, isn't here right now?
No, I mean, there's been years where KB hasn't been here. You know what I mean? I know KB's working hard, and we're staying in contact with him and, you know, book meets with him on Zoom and get the installation. And, I mean, if we're concerned about KB and his level of fitness and commitment, that's not a concern. I mean, he has a family, and he's an established player, and we would want them all here. But it's voluntary. And there were told these guys, there were years where I didn't go to New England. And you communicate, and he's communicated. And so I'm very, very confident that, you know, when KB comes back, he'll be in shape and he'll be ready to go and he'll know what to do and he'll be the same great teammate that he always is.
So there's two things that really stand out to me with that. One, that is like the most non-confrontational Vrabel answer I think I've ever heard on a subject matter like that. And he referenced something in his playing career, which he doesn't like to do. So that kind of stood out. But, I mean, good. I'm glad that he feels that way. I'm glad that, you know, it sounds like everybody's on the same page and nothing to see here, even though, like, guys, you got to understand why there is a story here. And because of everything that happened in the offseason, you asked him to take a pay cut, and then he doesn't show up to OTAs. So good on Vrabel for answering it that way and kind of somewhat getting in front of it of like, nah, we're cool. Everything's fine. Now, let's see if that's actually true in a few weeks when Kevin speaks.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there are a lot of – Brent Carthon said, yeah, we did ask Kevin at the pre-draft press conference. Yeah, we did ask KB for a pay cut. Then there were some rumblings on, you know, what was said on the other hand of things. And we haven't had a chance to talk to Kevin since all of this has happened. Then he doesn't show up to OTAs. I get it. I get why there's a story. Do I think it's that big of a deal? No. I really don't. I think it's more of, yeah, well, you know what? Vrabel said he saw him on the golf course. He's probably just like, okay, well, you know, all that's happened, I'll just do my own thing. Come back for the mandatory
minicamp.
Workouts, mini camp, and then everybody will ask him about it, and then it'll get put to bed.
Yeah, I hope.
But I look at the Christian Fulton thing as more of a concern. Because the way Vrabel answered that was, nope. Is Christian Fulton here? Nope.
Nope. And you can tell that Christian Fulton's kind of been in his doghouse for a while.
The comments at the end of the year last year, we heard the David Long Jr. and the Christian Fulton, you know, those repeat offender comments. And we all know that David Long Jr. is no longer on this team after he was in a contract year last year. Christian Fulton is in a contract year this year. I understand you're going to work with some trainer in Miami who's worked with D-Wade and LeBron and hamstring issues. But you do that in all of the months that you have leading up to here. You don't need to be doing it on May 23rd when you need to be at camp.
Right. 100%. And
OTS.
Another defensive leader, another leader on the team, talked about, you know, the importance of being at OTAs and what you can learn from that. And here's Jeffrey Simmons.
I wouldn't even say just condition. I think at this point, you know, the condition phases that we've been through, of course, this offseason, you want to be in shape, you want to get in shape. But like Coach said today, you know, early on when the guys was here during the first phase of OTAs and stuff like that, that's the condition part. Then it's come with the technique. Now we're on the field. So I think my thing is just getting my feet back in the ground. You know, it's been – you know, a while since I've been healthy. Been a while since I felt myself. Just being able to go out there and, you know, work on the bag, work with Coach T and the individual, then, you know, gets a couple of team reps. I think that's big for me. But, you know, when we talk about just me being here, you know, this is what I love to do. I love the game of football. And I think when you trying to build your team, your championship, trying to build a championship team, this is where it starts at. And, you know, being here is important to me. Getting healthy is important. I'm not all the way there yet. That's why I'm kind of working my way back into it now. So, like I said, just getting back on the field with them guys, you know, is I feel good just to be back out there with them. And I think that, like I said, that's where you build your team, you know, the standard. When we talk about the standard, when they see me out there with the guys, you know, I think it means something to our team that, you know, even when I'm rehabbing or just out there running to the ball or whatever it may be, doing a pursuit drill we did today, I think just shows what we're about here in Tennessee. No matter who you are, you know, that's how we want people who are going to buy into our standards.
Jeffrey Simmons using a little Mike Tomlin there. This is the standard. I like that. That was good. That's a guy that loves ball. He just does. He loves the game of ball, football, and I love that. I love that about him. And to your point on Christian Fulton, you know, Fulton is a guy that hadn't been healthy, and Jeffrey Simmons is a guy that's coming off an injury, and guess what? He's there. He's working. He's rehabbing from that injury. I think that shows leadership, and shows somebody that is just and this is I'm not using this as a shot at Byard by any means, but somebody that is just really excited to have all the contract stuff behind him and be there.
Well, a guy who wasn't at OTAs last year.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Simmons was not at OTAs last year. Right? So,
right.
You know, depending on what's happening on the professional side of things or the management side of things, you know, the front office, whatever. Jeffrey Simmons was in a contract year last year. He didn't come to OTAs. Now, it's he has his contract. Everything's done. He's coming off the injuries. It's easy for him to stand up there and say, you know, it's important for me to be here and all this stuff now that he knows that none of that is hanging over his head. But there's a guy who wasn't there last year. Kevin Byard is not in a contract negotiation. He's not. He's under contract. It's clear. Rand Carthon said he did ask him for a pay cut.
I mean, that is a bit of a negotiation. I mean, if you're asking a guy to take a pay cut, there is a negotiation involved. I mean, yes, he can say no, but you still, as a team, you're trying to accomplish something. So I don't know if it's necessarily going to go away.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not a negotiation. I mean, he's under contract. It's not a negotiation.
Right. But if I come to you and go, Michelle, I need you to take a pay cut. I mean, that is somewhat of a a contract discussion. Maybe you don't have to call it a negotiation, but it's a discussion.
Yeah, it's a discussion. But, you know, you can end that discussion by saying no when he's under contract and he's.
And they can end that discussion by cutting him.
Well, they owe him that money still.
Right.
So I'm still going to pay him.
Yeah.
I mean,
look, it's hopefully it's all being taken care of behind the scenes. And then they can move on from that, and he'll be there for minicamp. But a lot of different storylines from yesterday, from the first couple of days of OTAs. Can the offense be what we all hope they can be with this wide receiver group? There was a lot of discussion with that from offensive coordinator Tim Kelly. You'll hear that next here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Do you have enough at receiver right now?
Yeah.
Why do you feel comfortable that you have enough at receiver?
Because I've seen these guys play. I've seen these guys make plays in big games. You want to talk about Nick Westbrook, you can go watch the Washington Redskins or the Commanders film, excuse me, last year when he went up and made a huge play for us. You want to talk about Kyle Phillips, you can go and watch the New York Giants film when he caught a play or a bull route at the end of the two-minute drive to put us in position to win the game. You want to talk about Treylon Burks, you can go ahead and watch the Cincinnati Bengals game when he went up over the top on that deep ball. I mean, there's examples. You can turn on the Cowboys game and go watch Racy. You can watch all the catches that Chris had. There's enough examples of all these guys making plays at this level. It's just our job to make sure that we can get them to do it consistently.
That was Tim Kelly yesterday, Titans offensive coordinator, talking about receivers. Because, again, receiver continues to be the concern for the Titans and the offense specifically. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. You were there. What was it? I mean, what was the interaction like with Tim Kelly?
I mean, I thought it was really his first time speaking at the podium to the full group of media, right? I mean, he talked to some people at the combine, but this was his first time up there.
For some reason, I thought he did another one, but I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think the combine was the last one.
This was his first real at the podium speaking about the players. I mean, I think he did fine. I think, obviously, there was that back and forth between him and Jared. I can play devil's advocate on both sides of things. I can say, well, what is he going to say? This wide receiving core is very depleted. I wish we went out and got, you know, a veteran wide receiver. I wish we had more talent in this room. But he's not going to say that. But I think he probably could have given us a little bit more, but he's a Mike Vrabel guy, so is he going to give us more?
No.
Probably not.
Probably not.
I thought he was fine. I thought he did give us some stuff. I thought, you know, laying out what these players have done, but I think it's really hard right now because he hasn't had a lot of time with all of them together yet. And I mean, he probably is still in the same. He knows more than we do, obviously, but is still trying to figure out, okay, can they do this consistently? And what is this wide receiver core really going to look like?
Yeah, I mean, I contend that you have this group that's on the team right now. I still say there's probably a piece that isn't on the team yet.
Really?
I think so.
Whether that be a cut or...
Yeah, I mean, a cut. I've seen stuff floating around that you know, should the Titans sign Jarvis Landry? He's still out there. I mean, look, at this point, I'd invite him to camp. I mean, like, what do you got to lose? You know, a veteran guy like that. He hasn't been very good the last couple of years, but he's a guy I probably would have wanted like 3 or 4 years ago. But, I mean, if he's just sitting out there, then why not?
Yeah, I'm trying to. So,
I mean, the ones that I would say are, let's say, locks to make this team right now. Obviously, Treylon Burks would be one of them. Kyle Phillips, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. Those three for sure. And then you got the group of Chris Moore, which I would say he probably makes it.
I agree.
Racy McMath is in this conversation. Colton Dowell, the seventh-round pick, is in this conversation. Reggie Roberson, maybe, is in this conversation. Mason Kinsey, I don't think you need Kyle Phillips and Mason Kinsey, unless Mason Kinsey can bring you something more in the return game, which will there's a lot with the return game to talk about. But
I almost got tackled by him yesterday.
Yeah.
I posted the video.
Yeah.
I was really into getting the video. I was like, oh, this is great. And then all of a sudden I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
I agree.
Terry Crisp, head on a swivel.
I agree with the guys you said as far as locks. You know, I put Chris Moore in more of that lock category.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, those four probably.
Spoke to the media yesterday. I think that's always kind of a tell. He's the most veteran guy in there.
By the way, he didn't have to. Like, so he chose 11. Like, I love that he explained that. But, dude, you don't have to explain that. Like, the guy's been gone 2 years. Whatever.
Well, he was asked.
Why was he asked? Who asked him that?
Corey Curtis.
Corey. Who cares?
He was like, the question was, you know, sometimes fan bases hold on to grudges or something along those lines. Why'd you choose 11?
Dobbs wore 11.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Dobbs wore 11, and then the kicker. They had a kicker last year that wore 11. I love Corey, but come on. Like, who cares if he's wearing 11?
He's like, yeah, I picked it. And I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, well. He's a veteran guy.
Yeah, whatever. I mean... Like, I say that tongue in cheek. Like, I laughed at it, but I'm like, are we really talking about this? Like, what? No, yeah. You know what I mean? Now we're talking about it.
Yeah, of course.
But
back to the next.
Yeah, but no, I'm hoping that Treylon Burks, and by the way, he looked good. Like, lean, and like, he looks like he's in shape and everything. But like, so obviously, he has to be one that comes out and just shows you that exactly what they drafted. I really hope Kyle Phillips stays healthy and has a good camp, because theoretically he should, even though he might be the slot guy, he should be the number two receiver right now as things are constructed.
100%. I mean, in the one game he played at the beginning of last season, he was Ryan Tannehill's number one target.
Right.
I mean, we all remember that going down the field, the two-minute drill they were doing against the Giants, it was – Kyle Phillips, Kyle Phillips, mm-hmm. Kyle Phillips. And he was consistent, and we saw the chemistry they built in camp. I think it's clear he got a little bit bigger, and he spoke to some of the media members yesterday, worked on switching the diet a little bit, but also keeping his quickness. So he is going to be a major key. I agree with you, Chase. I think your hope is that he can be wide receiver too. I mean, looking at Treylon Burks, just hearing him speak, what was that, almost two weeks ago now, when mm-hmm. he spoke prior to all of this? The guy looks confident.
Yeah.
The guy looks confident, and that is huge. He is walking around, and he is performing like, yeah, I'm the number one receiver. And that's what you want. You want a guy to lead that room, and it just seems like he's taking on that role. And Paul Kaharsky from PaulKaharsky.com had a great article on Treylon Burks went home to Arkansas just for the weekend before OTAs, and – his flight got delayed, and he wasn't going to be able to make it back to Nashville. And he ends up finding this guy and flies in this little plane at 5 a.m. in order to make it back for OTAs at 8 a.m. Like, that is determination.
Was that our owner? Was that Bud?
Yeah, right? I mean, this guy, it's optional, right? But this guy did everything to go above and beyond. And there's a picture on Paul Karski's site, and it's Treylon Burks and the pilot standing next to each other in the plane. I mean, he's probably as tall as it, right? Mm. The fact that he went above and beyond, no excuses, to be there, I mean, that shows that he wants it. And that's everything, Chase, you and I have been talking about, that Treylon Burks this offseason needs to be ready to be that number one guy. And from everything we've seen so far and some of the flashes on the field yesterday, it seems like he's doing every step in the right way of becoming that guy.
Yeah, and I think he will be the right guy. It just, the thing that worries me is right now he's kind of the only guy, you know, of that ilk. I mean, Kyle Phillips could become more, and maybe, you know, maybe there's more to Racy McMath that we haven't seen. He was hurt some last year. But
little asterisk.
Yeah.
Hurt.
Yeah, something like that. But, I mean, your options are not very good that are out there on the free agent market. Kenny Golladay, no thanks. Julio Jones, been there, done that. Byron Pringle, meh. Landry, meh.
Yeah.
N'Keal Harry, ugh.
Yeah.
Sammy Watkins, yeah, I mean, there's...
I mean, I do like your idea of, I mean, a Jarvis Landry, bring him to camp. What's there? I mean, I look at his production from last year. He played just over half the games, 9 games, 272 yards, 1 touchdown. But maybe he could be just another guy for more depth in that room, because that's a room that's
been very thin. They've made a living on getting just another guy. Just look at Justin Hunter. You know, that's they need more than just another guy. I mean, that's the thing.
But there's
I don't know where you find that though.
I mean, my point more was, you know, Adam, see what he can do in camp. See if he can make a spot, create a spot for him. You know, you talked about Colton Dowell, 7th round pick. He looks the part as far as his body, his fatigue, his shape. He's a big guy out there, blocking wide receiver, right? But 7th round pick, played not at a big high level school. Yeah. What can he be out there?
Yeah, and that's what we're going to find out, because, I mean, obviously off the wide receiver, get choked up about that. The wide receiver position is going to be a huge part of the offense, but it's all encompassing. You know, what are you going to get out of Derrick Henry? Derrick Henry's at OTAs working right now. You know, are they he had one of his best years catching the football. And so are they going to try and do more of that? Obviously Tajay Spears, Hassan Haskins, you know, how are they going to factor in? I know he's going to use them. I am excited about Tim Kelly. I will say that. We will discuss that more coming up next. Feel free to weigh in, 615-737-1025. That is our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. It's Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Tim, with this offense, how is it? Is it something where you came in and overhauled everything? Is it more tweaks and just, you know, working around the edges and trying to get improvement with the personnel on hand?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's a complete overhaul. I mean, obviously this program has done a lot of really good things offensively throughout the year. So, you know, just like we talked about whenever the last time I talked to you guys was, it's going to be about make sure that we're accentuating the things that we do well and being able to make minor adjustments to some of the areas where we need to improve in.
Titans offensive coordinator Tim Kelly yesterday on kind of the evolution of this offense, his offense. Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063, The Game. Nick Kieser on the ones and twos with some T-Swift as well. And I'm excited about Tim Kelly because I know there's a lot to take away from his time with the Texans, but he had a one year there with Deshaun Watson that was really good. Now, obviously, that's Deshaun Watson, but they had some pretty good things around him too. But I think he's got a good offensive philosophy that he's going to bring in here. And then you heard Tannehill a few weeks ago, a lot of the players saying things are up tempo, which is cool. And I know, you know, I reference catching the ball out of the backfield. Tajay Spears supposedly was everywhere yesterday, was all over the place catching the ball. So that's good that he has that weapon to work in. But I think even with maybe not a full cupboard right now, I think you're still going to see some things from this offense that you haven't seen the last couple of years that are going to be good.
Well, even when he was working with Davis Mills with the Texans, yeah, I mean, he was able to make Davis Mills look good out there. But I think something interesting I took away from yesterday, and a guy we haven't talked about yet, is Chigakonkwo, who's going to be another huge guy in the pass game. But, you know, a lot of these guys like Tannehill and Tim Kelly and Vrabel and Treylon Burks, they've talked about, okay, got to get faster. I feel like one of the big takeaways from last season heading into this season has been faster. We want to get faster on offense. Okay, so what does that look like? What does getting faster look like? You can get faster players, more electric players, okay. But what actually does getting faster look like? And I think it was Chig yesterday who was speaking to us at the podium, and he said even things dialed down to, or maybe it was Tim Kelly, it was one of them, but even things dialed down to when they're in the huddle, using one word that describes an entire play and making the communication faster. So not just being faster on the field, but everything down to being in the huddle, saying one word, being direct, having the communication between the offensive coordinator and the quarterback really efficient. So then you know what's happening. Nobody's confused. One word means everything. Everybody's on the same page. And Chig was saying that, you know, at first, sometimes it can be a little bit harder to learn. But once you know it, it's a lot easier when you have to execute on game day. So when they're talking about getting faster, it's everything down to those small details. Yeah. And I think that from Tim Kelly is going to be something that we'll see and we'll notice. And one of the biggest problems on offense last year, I mean, it was executing. A lot of players not being able to execute what they're supposed to do. And maybe it was the personnel. Maybe it was a combination with the offensive coordinator, the communication. So what is just fixing maybe the communication and that look like with some of these players?
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. And, you know, you bring up Chig Okonkwo. He is going to be, I think, a very important – I mean – when you talk about the number two in catching the football, it's probably going to be Chig Okonkwo.
I agree. And that's what you want.
I mean,
from what you saw from him last year, the guy, every time he had the ball in his hand, he seemed to make a play. I reference this one play, and I can't think of the game. But I remember you just see all these guys, and Chig had the ball. And then all of a sudden, there's no whistle blown, no stoppage. All of a sudden, Chig just comes out and breaks a big one.
I'm trying to think, like, what this tight end room is actually going to look like. I mean, I feel like Josh Wiley is going to be a part of it, the rookie out of Cincinnati. But they brought in Kevin Rader. They signed him. Who was the – Trevin Wesco, I think they just signed. So, I mean, it's certainly – the tight end room is going to look different with Chig Okonkwo being at the top of that. So,
yeah, and the tight end position is something that Ryan Tannehill's always felt really comfortable utilizing in the past game. Last year – we didn't see much of it. Austin Hooper, we thought, I mean, I remember saying, oh, he's going to be Tannehill's number one target heading into the season. I remember saying that, and it took a while for him to come out, but you know, you already established that chemistry between him and Chig. And Chig said yesterday, he's like, I've been here, I've been in Tennessee, just building on that chemistry between him and Tannehill. And Wiley has been a guy people have spoke highly of, saying he's just a really smart guy. He understands route running really well, and having a rookie coming in that way and able to understand that, it's just another check off the list of something that he doesn't have to overcome as much with that transition from college to the NFL. And he's just a big guy. He's really, really tall, big, his arm length, you know, his pass catching ability. That's another guy I'm excited to look at in training camp this year.
Okay, so I've waited 35 minutes to ask, how was being there watching Will Levis?
Oh. I'm like, why? I'm like, what is he about to say?
What'd I do? I mean, if you're watching the stream, you saw that. She got really concerned about where I was going.
What is happening? I mean, I think it's hard to take a lot away from quarterback play right now just because – Nobody's really doing much. But I think you saw some good stuff. You saw some inaccuracy, but it's the second day with the veterans. I think that's something you come accustomed to. But as far as, you know, body language out there, I had a video that I actually posted on Twitter, and it's him and Tannehill in tandem. And the guys, I mean, as far as, you know, height, like their bodies, they look, and the red jerseys, right? I mean, they look so in sync with each other. He was getting a lot of the reps. You know, Malik Willis was getting reps out there too, but seeing him in person, it's funny because everybody, I didn't even go to school with him at the same time.
I know, but you're Kentucky.
Yeah, and I'm Kentucky, of course, right? And
you've been on the bandwagon through the whole process, so, you know, you got to stay there.
Yeah, I definitely have been a fan of him, but I think it's everything we've talked about. It's, yeah, he's got the big arm, he's got the, you know, nice release, body, physique, walks around. Talked to him about, you know, learning under Tannehill yesterday. He said he loves how Tannehill takes charge in meetings. That's something, as a quarterback, you need to see somebody doing that and learning behind a guy like Tannehill who's been in the league for 10 plus years. So set everything right, of course, you know, in the questions as far as that. Looked big, looked good out there, but I just think it's hard to really tell what somebody looks like in a true football setting until mm-hmm. we get actually pads on and there's some rushing the passer and all of that stuff.
Sure. Yeah, and I mean, I was reading, people were saying Malik Willis looked a lot more comfortable than he did this time last year, which, good, he should.
Mm-hmm.
I know he spoke some yesterday, and, you know, I liked a little bit of the swagger that came out of, you know, he was asked every question that you could imagine about being in the situation he's in, and it's like, look, what's different? It's competition. That's, you know, we're here to play, we're here to compete. Yeah, I know, but I think he handled that right. I mean, what are you going to do? You know, it's kind of like Tim Kelly and how you're going to answer the receiver question and go, yeah, you know, they actually are pretty crappy, but, you know, we're just going to do the best we can. Like, I think he handled it like a mature guy that, you know, knows that this is a situation that he's in. Now, with this new quarterback rule, I think that helps him.
Okay.
You know, the only thing that I wish they had done is, like, my idea for it was make it a 54th spot. But the 54th spot has to be a quarterback, and then do what they're doing on game day. But it's still a part of the 53. So, you know, they may try and sneak him through to the practice squad. You never know. But I think obviously watching the quarterback competition, the backup competition is going to be an interesting one with this offense and how Tim Kelly and Charles London work with those guys.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly makes training camp more interesting. I mean, last year, of course, they drafted Malik Willis, which is immediately interesting whenever they draft a rookie quarterback. And now this year, they draft another rookie quarterback. So it makes it even more interesting as far as storylines for training camp. One thing that I don't want to say was surprising, but, you know, when Malik spoke to the media yesterday, of course, he's going to be asked all the questions about, so how does it feel? You know, more competition in the quarterback room. He was pretty to the point and kind of had the guards up, had the rails up, I would say. Definitely a difference between last year at training camp. Would really, you know, just want to talk and long answers and everything like that. But I think you could definitely tell yesterday that his walls were up, and it was a pretty quick couple of questions from the media. You could kind of tell he just wanted to quickly answer them and move on to the next. But what would you expect?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and I mean, look, that's going to come with it, but you have to answer those questions. I always look at guys that no matter what situation they're in, if they stand in front of us, you know, and some might call us the firing squad, but stand up there and answer questions, that tells me a lot about that person, even though it's the last thing in the world that they want to do, but they do it anyway. In any situation. And that's why, like, Kevin Byard has the reputation that he has, because win, lose, draw, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. He's willing to talk.
I agree. I mean, look at Ryan Tannehill the last 3 years. Having to speak after drafting a quarterback, drafting another quarterback, right? I mean,
yeah, but here's my thing on Tannehill. Like, you're right. He's had to speak in those situations. But, like, after, you know, the season's over, or, you know, after the playoff game against Cincinnati, it took a few months for him to talk.
Yeah.
And I had a problem with that.
No, and I understand. I think, though, when he came back and did talk and gave a little look behind the curtain of some of the things he was actually going through, I think it gives people maybe a different perspective on what happened.
To an extent. Yes.
But I understand. Yeah, you are the quarterback. You have to talk. But mm-hmm. would you put Derrick Henry in that same category as a leader?
Yeah, but I mean, Derrick talks.
After the end of the season, oh, he was injured. So that doesn't count.
Yeah, and I mean, Tannehill was injured too. Well, no, wait. Derrick wasn't injured.
No, we're talking 2021.
Yeah, 2021. Yeah, he was hurt during then. But, like, Derrick spoke this year.
Ryan Tannehill was at locker cleanout.
Was he?
Ryan Tannehill spoke this year.
Did he? Okay. I didn't think he did.
It was just the year where they were the number one seed, and it was the whole conversation around the Cincinnati Bengal game and him throwing the interception.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I had a problem with that. So, you know, and I know he was going through a lot, but it's like at least, you know, just say, hey, this is what it is, and I'm going to need some time to process it. I mean, you can give cliches, I mean, yeah, which he's, you know, been known to do. But
yeah, I agree. But I think you can probably go through any event in a athlete's career where they haven't spoken and we've held it against them, but, you know, has spoken in different scenarios.
Sure. And I'll give him this. Like, it's easy for me to sit here and judge a guy on being in that situation when I've never been in that situation. Just like if he were to judge me on a situation that he's never been in. So that is fair. But I just know that as the starting quarterback of a team, I want to hear from you. And
of course,
like Jeffrey Simmons sitting at his locker last year, getting emotional, saying like, I've had to shoot up my ankle for the last, you know, 8 weeks or whatever it was, because I want to be out there with those guys and play with those guys. I mean, that right there, like, that gets you. That's like, yeah, I want that guy. I mean, I remember when he did that, I was saying, like, I don't care how much it is, pay that man. Like, like I want that guy in my locker room. So, obviously, OTAs, this is the time of year that we are in. But an interesting discussion about the schedule and flexing. And I have a thought just to kind of solve all of this. And I want to hear what everybody has to what everybody thinks about it. We'll do that next here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
We don't know how the games are going to play out, but we do know, you know, the matchups on paper look great. And, I mean, we get the – look at those first three games, and NBC or Fox or CBS, anybody would take those. Minnesota at Philadelphia, Giants at San Francisco, and then Detroit's kind of the it team this year at Green Bay. I mean, that's a hell of a way to come out of the gate. And then later on in the season, Baltimore and Cincinnati, they played that classic playoff game last year, the wild card round. And then your boy Aaron, gets two appearances.
Oh,
Black Friday and Thursday at the end of the season in, I think, Cleveland. So all things considered, it's a great schedule. It's much better. The matchups are much better than last year. And now, you know, they've got to play the game. So hopefully most of these games will be compelling.
It was Al Michaels on the Pat McAfee Show talking about the Thursday night football schedule. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezvik, Nick Kieser, intern Brandon back there as well, hanging out. Yeah, thumbs up, man. Welcome in. I have a thought on the schedule. So they've said that you can flex Thursday night now. So now, to my knowledge, you can flex all the primetime games. So Sunday night, Monday night, mm-hmm. and Thursday night. And so I was thinking about it because I know that that players don't necessarily like the Thursday night package at all because your body doesn't heal up. And I get it. I mean, Derek's talked about it time and time again, and we'll hear from Tim Hasselbeck in just a second on this. But my thought is, and I think there are going to be people that are going to go, huh, and then there are going to be people that are going to go, I don't like that at all. But what if they just did the schedule similar to what you see in college football, where if you're going to flex everything, and maybe you do this only at a certain point of the season, but you just – and they already kind of do this. Like if you look at the Titans schedule for this year, that last game can be a Sunday or a Saturday, and just have some TBDs. And that goes for Monday, that goes for Sunday, that goes for Thursday. So like the last 5 weeks of the season or something like that, everybody's just TBD, and then you take the best matchup.
Yeah, well, correct me if I'm wrong, I think they're only allowed, at least for Thursday, it's week 13 through 17.
Right, and I think for Monday night it's similar, and Sunday's more. Sunday they, because Sunday's easier to do.
Yeah.
So, and I get, put some, you know, put some constraints on it. That's fine, whatever. But I just kind of feel like that, one, right now, like even though the rule's there, they're probably not going to flex. I don't think they're going to do much flexing with Thursday night. But because, again, that is an added element of difficulty. And I know you've said they've put the rule in where they can play no more than two on a Thursday night or what have you.
And I think they have to give a team a month, a 28-day notice.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's going to be hard to do, but it's just a thought that I had of, like, could you not – and maybe Thursday doesn't fall into that, but like with some of these that you just say, hey, it's TBD. And as you know, if you get down to the end of this, you know, the last 5 weeks of the season and the Titans are one of the hottest teams in the league, then they're probably going to find themselves on Sunday night more. Now, I know you could easily just flex them right now, but I think adding a little intrigue with the TBD could be interesting. It works in college football. Why wouldn't it work in the NFL?
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. And some of the constraints I did mention, they have to give teams 28-day notice. I'm cool with that.
Yeah, right? I'm good with that.
That gives them a month. They know if they're playing, right? It's not just the day, the week of or something. So that I'm cool with that. The TBD, I guess I would be cool with that.
Now, it's funny that I'm saying that, again, inside baseball here, but as a program director – like, I would hate that because I can't – like, I'm sitting here right now trying to figure out what our schedule is going to be like this fall for games, and I can't because I don't know the college football schedule. So, or I don't know start times, I should say.
Looking at, you know – so you're saying flexing on – so Thursday Night Football, TBD on the certain teams that would play in it for the last couple
of weeks. Yeah, so, like, for instance, like, if you had the Titans schedule, the schedule comes out. Right. And right now, you know, it's got everything start times. And mm-hmm. the only thing that is TBD is week 18. If you take starting in like week 14, so maybe it's December, maybe it's like the last month of the season. So they're at Miami on a Monday night. What if it was at Miami and everything was just TBD? There was no day. There was no time.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I see what you're saying. I guess from a TV standpoint, because really these TV contracts are, you know, they make the big bucks. These TV contracts are huge. I guess from a content standpoint of, you know, pre-promoting something, or from a fan standpoint of, okay, I'm not going to go to the game in Miami if it's just a noon game on Sunday, but if it's a Monday Night Football game, I'm going to buy tickets.
And that's fair. I know people that are planning trips to Miami because they want to go to the Monday night game.
So I get from that standpoint, maybe, of, okay, well, people need enough time in the schedule release so people can plan. I mean, right, that was the big topic however many a week ago. I don't even know. I don't even know what time is, right? The amount of days we've been, so much has been going on. But I get it from that standpoint. I don't mind what you said, but I feel like there could be some hoops to jump through just as far as, you know, people trying to plan to go to games and content and crews and TV scheduling and just everything.
Right. And, you know, the NFL will lose their beloved schedule release show that, you know, has become a thing the last few years that they seem to like. So
they love
that's,
it.
That's true, too.
Hey, listen, anything sells in the NFL.
I know.
They could redo – well, they have done jersey reveals.
What is it? There was a squirrel at Yankee Stadium? I mean, this is the epitome of a squirrel moment because I just looked up at the TV. I'm like, what the hell is going on? The look on some of these people's faces.
I will say I probably would have a look like that. I'm terrified of squirrels.
You – like, I feel like I know you well enough now to know that if a squirrel ran by you, you would be up in the – concourse like in half a second.
Rodents scare me. My little sister has guinea pigs and she tries to put them near me and I want to cry. I scream for my mom and I'm 25 years old.
Yeah, so sorry, that got my
that was a squirrel moment.
That was a squirrel moment that got me distracted there. 615-737-1025, your thoughts on the schedule and if you would buy my plan. I mean, again, there are some holes in it, but I think things that we could work through. Coming up next, a big win last night in the NHL, and one team in the NBA survives. We'll discuss that and much more here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.